Can you imagine being described as a KC-4? That's about the ultimate PX. Antarctica, as a matter of fact. But here we are again. You know, as a ham, I think I represent the hams who have never won a goddamn thing.
I did. All these official guys get up here working on Yagis and double multiple IJ type beams, and here you are trying to tune a coat hanger on 40. I represent, basically, did any of you see that sign that was out there? Did you see that sign, Flick Lives? You may not know who Flick was. A legendary, non-distinguished ham. One of those great fallen soldiers who gave his all in the advancement of our art. Flick passed from our midst. It is reported. Some people say he lived, others say he's just a legend. The year was 1938. An obscure W-9 with a reissued call. And this was the year they were giving out original calls. He got a reissue. Should have taken some kind of hit from that. Flick built a 30 oscillator. For those of you who remember what the tube was, a 30 oscillator. Now, a 30, if you put 45 volts on the plate of a 30, you were pushing it. It was a tiny tube about the size of your thumb. Had to be handled very delicately. You bought them at Montgomery Ward's. And Flick built an MOPA oscillator, tri-tet, doubling from 80 to 40. Fantastic. That's pure positive thinking. To double on a 30. You had 22.5 volts on the plate. He was using three in-phase RCA receiving antennas. He called CQ on 40 meters for the entire summer of 1939. Late that fall, as the clouds of war were gathering in Europe, Hitler had moved into Poland. Flick believed that someone came back to him. In his excitement, he grabbed his key and was instantly electrocuted with 22.5 volts. Not an easy task. Unsung, they misspelled his name in silent keys. And so now, among the rest of us non-distinguished hams, Flick has become a byword. Flick Lives. You see it written over urinals. Some are laughing, others aren't. In every crowd, there are the Reader's Digest readers who quote it, take it seriously. But as I say, I represent. If you ever, if, just take your receiver on any band, 15, 20, 40, turn up the gain. And you hear that background, yes, come up. And way down in the middle of all that grass, you'll hear thousands of tiny, hopeless signals. In between the great monsters that come on, they're always sitting down here in the front. There's one guy down here, the only guy I've seen with a one-letter call. W6D. He says, call me Da-da-da. Bastard. Why am I always in the company of people who take 46 words a minute code with a number 2 Ticonderoga pencil? Is God teaching me lessons? Well, you know, I don't see for years. Well, now, you see, currently, now you think, you know, all this is in the past. No, I'm running 7 watts on 15. And, you know, Woody Allen has said it very well. He says, from a continuing sense of inadequacy and tragedy comes humor. I don't know whether you recently tried to run 7 watts on 15. Looking at this crowd here, you look like the gang that's on any frequency that I'm on. This whole crowd. All sitting there, big, fat cigars going. I come in there with my little FP7. But today, you know, the reason I love to come to these ham conventions, some guys love the flea market. The flea market. I try to get away from that junk. For years, my basement was loaded with stuff that didn't work. Stuff that when you put any voltage on it, you'd hear arcs deep down inside it. I'm the only guy that I know. I buy a UTC modulation transformer would automatically short out instantly. In the package. I buy meters. I remember I bought a 50. These are little personal tragedies. I wrote and bought a 100 milliammeter meter from Allied Radio. All excited, you know, waiting. 2 weeks go by and finally they deliver. And the son of a bitch was permanently on 100 mils. The meter was all the way over. I opened it up. There it was. It was reading a full plate current. I couldn't bang it like that. Wouldn't dodge it. Moved even more to the right. Today, I bought a piece of gear, the first time I bought any gear in years, a TS-120. I bought that thing, and all of a sudden I said, TS! In my signal core out, is this an omen? Wait till I get it home and plug it in. If you hear of a giant power outage in Florida, my TS-120 blew the back end off the apartment. But you know, when you deal with ham radio on that level, you know, I go to these things not because of the flea market. I can't stand all that stuff. All those guys with those funny CB-like jackets walking around looking at that junk. The stuff that it causes me to itch. What are all those things they're buying? Those little gray knobby things with wires that come out of them. I don't care. I don't want to have anything to do with that crowd. Then I go into the big halls where Kenwood is showing its stuff. Yesu. Frequency counters. All these Wilson antennas are hanging from the ceiling. I've never had a beam. Right now, I am tuning a bed spring on 15. 1.03 to 1 SWR. And you ought to see my wife when I got it tuned up and she's in bed. I tuned it. She doesn't know those things. She keeps saying, I wonder why I keep sweating like this. I said, well, move over to the center of the bed, honey, and wait and see. You'll change the SWR, then you'll draw arcs right off your ears. Well, you do the best you can. And today, you know, I go to the ham fest, you know, these ham things, because I love to see all the guys, you know, all the different hams walking around. I meet guys that I've seen and heard and worked and all that. And today, and you see what's happening in ham radio. So I'm in this big crowd, all these guys with shopping bags, you know, that have Hamtronics on the side and all that stuff. Everybody's buying things. And I drift around, and I find myself in front of the ICOM booth today. And I'm with Ron, see. And here's this big, heavy, official-looking ham with a gray sideburns, $2 cigar. And there standing next to him is his son and heir, his scion. And they're looking at the ICOM 701 with separate VFO, power supply, Wilson antenna hanging over it, 18 elements, Full wave on 40. You just put a motor on that thing and you can fly it to Paris. And I'm looking at the ICOM 701, you know, Pius Jones. It's just got money written all over it. And the kid is looking at it. The kid says, gee, Dad, I'd like the VFO. And the father says, of course, Charles. And he turned to me with this great pride. He says, Charlie here is just going up for his general next week. I'm buying him his first rig. An ICOM 701 with VFO. I said, well, start to get right. His first date was with Ursula Andress, you know. And I remember the first equipment I ever had, and I slunk away, and I slunk into the crowd. First equipment I ever had. 2A5 oscillator. How many of you remember the 2A5 tube? It had such great official sound. It's a beam-powered pentode. Made it out of QSTs, breadboard plans. It was in the handbook. Made it official. 2A5 oscillator, and I went down and I bought a Bliley X-cut crystal at Allied. Saved 8-9 years to get it. I was so proud. The guy says, what frequency? This was at Allied. The Allied store on West Jackson in Chicago. He said, what frequency do you want? 40 meters. He says, 40 meters. There's 300 kilocycles there. They call them kilocycles in those days. Who the hell is this megahertz anyway? It hurts. When did that happen? So I said, let's see. I'll take the middle. 7182. I didn't realize what I was doing. I bought 7182. Now, the receiver I had, which I still remember with great affection, was a Sky Buddy. What a buddy, I'll tell you. It was a Sky Buddy, and you couldn't believe how that thing would drift. I remember sitting there watching my Sky Buddy drift through 40. Drifted down to 31-meter phone for a while there, and I was picking up a couple of South American broadcast stations. Drifted down to 49 meters. I didn't touch it. Then all of a sudden, it wiggled a little bit, drifted up to 80. And then it slowly went down past 40 again. And I used to catch it when it would go past 7182. It would pause at the frequency, maybe a minute and a half, and I'd call like hell, and it would drift on down. Well, the first night when I went on the air on 7182, I learned that in those days, just like today, there are men who own the frequency. There I was, W9QWN, running 6 watts. Right on the frequency was W5HH. Have you ever heard W5HH sent at 40 words a minute? 3.5 kilowatts. He blew a hole right in that band like the Queen Mary going through your bathtub. He was going, Jesus. I'd sit there and my phones jiggle up and down. And I used to wait. You see, he used to take maybe 10 or 15 minutes off a day. He never signed off. He would just go, do, 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 QRX. And I would still, do, 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 do. When the cat's away, the damn mice are always in there, you know. And I'd come on, you know, and once in a while I'd get a contact going, like with a guy in Cleveland. See, that's real DX from Hammond, Indiana. And then all of a sudden he would come on, he would just go, clearing the frequency. Meters are flicking in there, you know. My receiver would overload. He's in Austin, Texas. Blow my poor little S-19R right off the desk. But I knew there had to be something to this ham radio. Now, I know a lot of the women in this audience wonder what the hell it is. Like a friend of mine, by the way, recently, not too long ago, came to that terrible time when he has to get a divorce. And he said to me, he says, will you go down just for moral support to the court with me? I said, well, of course, Chuck. He said, you don't have to say anything. Just come down to the court with me. My God, he says, I feel like I got no friends there. And so we went down. We sat in those hard benches down on the south end of Manhattan Island with those great pillars and columns of the official world all around us. And the judge was up there, excuse me, judge, in his black robes, looking down. My friend was getting smaller and smaller. He's about 3 feet tall by the time he got into this place. And his wife is growing taller and bigger. She had these two giant Italian lawyers from the mafia. Greasy Thumb and Scungiri were sitting there. Great law firm. And Greasy Thumb got up and said, my client would like to speak to you, Your Honor. The judge says, what are your grounds for divorce? She got up and she said, Your Honor, this man did not tell me before we got married that he was a ham. The judge said, divorce granted. And then he says, what band? The guy says, 15. He says, that'll be $800 a month alimony, you bastard. Q-R-M-ing son of a bitch. Now, I imagine a lot of you... I overheard a great remark today in the crowd. This guy is walking around, you know, and he's got his buttons all over, you know, QCWA. He's got patches, you know, Dayton Hamfest 1890. Who was coming to these things before they even had them, you know? He's got microphones hanging here, and he's got 440 and 220 patch equipment and all buttons and transistorized, every damn thing. He's got earphones. He's always talking into this thing. And his wife said, why don't you ever talk to me? What do you do down in the basement all day long? Who knows? What drives us to do this? Why do you feel impelled to sit night after night to talk to total strangers? Some place, some crazy place like Dismal Seepage, Ohio. He tells you the weather there. What the hell do you care whether it's raining in Dismal Seepage, Ohio or not? You write it down. You're actually writing it down. It's raining in Cleveland tonight. WX72. And then, of course, when you're on CW all these years, you learn to swagger or skulk. You can tell, you can actually tell the man's personality by his code, CW. You hear these W6s come on, and they have a certain way of calling CQ. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Drives a Cadillac. As a mistress in Acapulco. Man who sleeps in a bed that has Ferrari grills for the headboard. Mean. But then you hear other guys, you hear the other type. No expectation of any return. He sends CW now just out of reflex. Just sends meek, mild. Strange world amateur radio is. Now, radio has all kinds of ramifications. Lou knows here, he's in broadcast commercial radio. I was sucked into radio as a little kid. There's a guy down the street, W9JZA, a man, had this tremendous rack and panel, had a pair of 210s, 200 THs on 160. Every time Gil would talk into this microphone, our entire neighborhood would, the lights would dim. Oh, yeah, Gil on 160. And you'd hear him, you see, he'd come out of our refrigerator. You'd hear Gil, I'll seek you, 160. Well, I was a paper kid, you know, and I'd go past this guy's house. He had antennas all over it. And you could see this little house at the bottom of all these wires and stuff. And I'd go in there, and once in a while, I would be asked to come into the living room. They're collecting for the papers, 80 cents a week for the Chicago Tribune. Worth every penny of it. 80 cents a week. And there in the next room, I'd see this rack and panel. And there, squatting in front of it like a toad, was W9JZA. He had these 866s that were glittering and gleaming, going off and on. And when he would talk, they would glow blue up and down. His 35 T's that he had in the driver's stage were red with the plate. He had this super pro receiver, weighed maybe 9-10 tons. Very rich ham. By the way, I ran into a guy in Maine the other day that uses as a boat anchor an NC-300. Remember the rig? Receiver? Four tubes, giant chassis like that. Well, I kept looking in there, and one day, Gil called me and he says, "You want to come in, son?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "One moment." He said, "I am in QSO on 20 meters. And this voice is coming out. Some guy in Mexico City. Gil flips the switch, all the 866s go on, the meters go back and forth. The plates start glowing in the 200 THs. Yes, okay, old man, XE2AL, this is W9JZA. Weather here in Hammond, Indiana is moderate drizzle. Very official hand. He said, "You can QSL me through the Bureau." God, I'd love to be able to say that. I have never gotten a QSL through any Bureau. That's an official hand. Goes on D expeditions. And he said, "Would you like to do this?" I said, "Geez, it's fantastic." And I was hooked. Betting it on. I'd sit in Miss Shields' second grade classroom with a Q&A in my geography book. By the time I was 9, I could give you a complete diagram of a 6-stage transmitter, including oscillator, 2 doublers, a buffer, push-pull final, Class B modulator, 2 half-waves in phase power supply, with component values. But I couldn't tell you what the exports of Peru were. Most hams remain throughout their lives basically illiterate. The rest of the world. Any other country is a contact. So you mean to tell me we're at war with PY2? Or whatever. So there I am, see, I'm just getting into this, and I had no equipment. And I learned to tune my 2A5 by drawing arcs off the plate coil with my thumb. I have a thumb that is a permanent RF burn that goes right through it. I just go, love to draw those arcs. Neon tube, I tuned it all up. Never made a contact. And I had discovered inadvertently the essence of ham radio. It isn't the contact. It isn't the QSO. It isn't even the equipment. It's the doing. It's the being. It's the having this curious license to be part of this strange, invisible fraternity. It's like being part of a... It's like being a Rosicrucian. You ever seen those ads, a morgue? You ever thought of joining it? Well, you are one. The secrets of the universe will be yours. Now, somebody asks you what the hell they are. You say, well, beats me. What's it all about? Well, at that age, I used to come home from school. I went, by the way, some people are born already fighting. I lived on the south side of Chicago. At the age of 9, I was going to the Warren G. Harding School. Can you imagine, at the age of 9, going to a school named after the worst president in history? Up to now, of course, we've had... You know, can you imagine some poor little bastard going to the Richard M. Nixon school? He doesn't know, you know? That's history. There'll be a kid going to the Jimmy Carter school, and there'll be this big gold peanut there embossed on the school auditorium archway. Well, the Warren G. Harding school, I remember we had a curtain back of the, you know, the stage in the auditorium, and the stage was... Yeah, you know, we had these auditorium sessions, and above the stage was the school symbol. It was this teapot dome. In gold, we didn't know what it was, a dollar signs dribbling out of it. Had a Latin inscription, in hoc articulo quod in est spittle lauc. They loved Latin in Indiana. I guess it meant don't spit on a farmer. Yeah, in est articulo quod in est spittle lauc. And every night I would go home from school, go down through the alleyways, and if you know anything about Hammond, Indiana, it is the toughest town this side of Calcutta. I mean, it took guts just to be a kid in Hammond, Indiana. The steel mills on the horizon, you'd see them flickering, lights blowing. They invented smog. I'll never forget one night, the river, a mile away from our home, caught on fire. That's right, the little Calumet River burned from horizon to horizon. I was 9 and the fire engines came and squirted water in the river. Now, we didn't know, you know, nobody talked about it. I can remember Lake Michigan was so polluted where we lived that the old man, when we go to the beach, would get a running start and run halfway to Muskegon. Just run on the surface of the water. It was thick and gooey, had tires floating on it, dead fish, used Crisco. But there was one thing that was beautiful. Every night I would come home from school, and I would sit in front of the radio. We had this radio. My old man was a real radio freak. He loved broadcast radios. Our house, you know, we had linoleum on the floor. You could skate from the kitchen all the way out the front door. Linoleum. But we had an E.H. Scott. How many of you remember the E.H. Scott DX16? Gigantic radio. I mean, it's like a Relief Family now. It has a 37-inch color TV set. It's so big, when you turn it on, you have to wear a safety belt. Just from the power it draws, it shakes your guts. And we would sit in front of the E.H. Scott every night at 5:15. On would come this show. The only show I ever listened to as a kid. I was not a radio listener. But come on. They had a theme song. I say to you that it was this radio show that changed the course of my life. Some people go on to become judges, presidents of ball teams, presidents, attorney generals. They all have 4 kilowatts. And then there's us. When did the time that the change? When did it happen? We all started out the same, mewling, puking babes, leaking at the seams. Yet some march on to become those people you see getting off the planes on the Walter Cronkite show, saying things like, no comment. The people who go on to become the official ones never suspect the traps that are out there. rest of us spend our lives in the goddamn traps. It wasn't until his 14th year as a pro that Jack Nicklaus discovered sand traps. Now, of course, he can't get out of them. That's what I say to all you official guys who become ham of the year. Don't look around. Don't look back. Don't read your SWR meter in a storm. Don't try running 7 watts on 15. You'll have a touch of reality. And that can be fatal. And there I was at the age of 9, sitting in front of the radio every night at 5:15. They had this radio program that came out of WGN, Chicago. And they had a theme song. I can still remember it. Who's that little chatterbox? The one with curly auburn locks. Who do we see? It's little orphan Annie. La da da dee dee. How many in this crowd could tell me how Aunt, how, what did Sandy do? What kind of a noise did Sandy make? Let's hear it again, crowd. Now that's power. When you can get a crowd of hams all in unison to holler arf, I'll throw you a fish, you bastards. Stand up and be counted. Arf went Sandy, and then this crowd would sing, "Who's that little chatterbox?" And then on would come this voice, "Hello, fellas and gals, it's Pierre André." Pierre André. I think a whole generation of kids grow up feeling inferior to the names of the announcers on the air. Pierre André, Vincent Pelletier, Truman Bradley. There was not a Chester Wisniewski in the lot. And it's still the same. This is Pierre André, fellas and gals. Welcome you to another evening, another program of the Little Orphan Annie Show, brought to you by that rich, delicious, chocolate-tasting drink, Ovaltine. And as we left Little Orphan Annie late yesterday evening, you heard her say to Joe Corntassel,
"Joe, the pirates are coming."
We'll hear tonight's episode immediately, just a few moments. But first, I want to remind you that there will be tonight a meeting of the Little Orphan Annie Secret Circle. And there will be a message from Annie herself to you members of the Secret Circle. If you'd like to join the Secret Circle, send a silver inner seal from a can of Ovaltine to Checkerboard Square, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And now for tonight's adventure.
I'd sit there and they had these great adventures. They were always fighting pirates. There wasn't a pirate anywhere in Hammond, Indiana. Oh, yes, there was a lot of gas siphoning. By the way, by the age of 10, I could tell what kind of gas I was siphoning by the taste at night. I particularly liked Fire Chief. Had a nice after-dinner insouciance. Yeah. With a moderately dry aftertaste. Used to suck it out of Mrs. Anderson's Pontiac. But that's another story. I don't want to burden you with my life of crime. But getting into this little orphan anything was a total escape away from all that bad stuff. Little did I realize that it was radio that was about to do it to me. They'd have this adventure, and after the adventure, on would come Pierre André. "All right, fellas and gals, it's time for a meeting of the Little Orphan Annie's Secret Circle. Get out your pins, your secret Dakota pins, and set your pin to B-17. Here is tonight's message. 6, 22, 14, 9, 36, 8. He got more out of numbers than Orson Welles gets out of King Lear. And I'm sitting there listening to this. Already at the age of 9, I'm in the worst kind of outgroup there is. I'm living in a non-Ovaltine drinking neighborhood. I got no pin. And then Pierre André would wind it up by saying, "All right, fellas and gals, there's your secret message from little orphan Annie herself. Don't tell any of the non-members this secret message. It is for you members alone. We'll see you tomorrow night at the same time when you hear, who's that little chat the box? The one with curly auburn eyes. And they go off the air. And there'd be doom, doom, doom. Nothing but silence out there in the great world. And I'd come into the kitchen. No pin. You'd have this feeling that out there in the darkness, millions of rich kids were decoding. Getting the message from Annie. And all I could do was make a salami sandwich and squat there next to our kitchen table. We had one of these white enamel kitchen tables that if you got very close to it, you could smell the accumulated vomit for thousands of years of kids. Now, I know it's in bad taste, but it's life. Have you ever had the feeling that life is in rotten taste? And my mother would be hanging over the sink in her bathrobe. She had this Chinese red rump-sprung chenille bathrobe. She always had her hair up in these aluminum rheostats. Her hair was always up. She said, "You never know when something important is going to happen." And when they laid her to rest, she laid there in her box with her hair up, never took it down. She had a little petrified egg on the lapel, and she's hanging over the sink with her dish rags. She was a pure Midwestern mother who believed that if she got the ultimate Brillo pad, she could Brillo away all sin. And she'd hang over the sink. 6 o'clock at night, dinner time, my old man is sitting there with a can of Blatt's beer in his hand. He's got the Chicago White Sox score for the day in front of him. Sox drop pair to Cleveland. You know, it's not easy to drop a pair to Cleveland. 12-2 and 9-3. In those days, and he was a White Sox fan, a dedicated fan. And in those days, a White Sox headline would read, "Luke Appling strokes tape measure foul." Luke Appling hit a 440-foot foul yesterday off of Eldon Auker, the Detroit submarine pitcher, before striking out three times. And he's sitting there with his can of Blatts. And I'm thinking about joining the secret circle. And my mother's just about ready to take the meatloaf out of the oven. She was a meatloaf specialist. Many variations. Meatloaf with olives, which my old man hated. Meatloaf with tomato sauce, which my kid brother hated. Meatloaf with cornflakes, which everybody hated. Meatloaf with peas, the kind we got tonight. And I don't have to tell you about those little passes. You could shoot those things out of a BB gun. A deadly weapon. It tastes like nothing. They're just called generically peas. Little green stuff on your dish there. And my mother's hanging over the sink. He's drinking the Blatts. When all of a sudden, the sink, she's got this drain in the sink. The sink would go. You ever lived in a house where the sink talked? We'd go. My mother would jump back. And she'd count because it was all a matter of timing. It would do it three times. It would go. But the second one and the third one. And up would come Mrs. Bruner's coffee grounds from next door. We traded coffee grounds to our sinks. You'd see Mrs. Bruner looking out of her window. My mother would look out of her window. Both of them got their hair up. Mrs. Bruner just put her coffee grounds down. Never forget one night when the John at 2 o'clock in the morning blew up. Mr. Bruner had gotten home drunk. And we got it all in our bathroom. So you can see why I feel that I'm not going to make it on 15. I mean, That never happened to the judge. Are you kidding? Doesn't know about those things. Well, I kept nagging my mother. I kept saying, Ma, geez, I want to join the secret circle. Get me a cannibal team down at Mattingly's.
It's Mattingly's grocery store.
And she kept saying, now look, she said, milk is good enough. Little did I realize I was setting myself up for total disaster. Overreaching can be one of the great human failings. I had no right to be in that club. But I wanted to be in it. I have no right to be a ham in a world of California kilowatts. Guys that take 46 words a minute with a lead pencil. That's not only superhuman, it's sick. Lord almighty. Looks like a 40-foot pole vaulter. What the hell is that about? Nothing but showing off. There he goes. So, I kept after her for 2-3 months, and finally, one day, my mother, we're in Mattingly's grocery store, and she says, all right, you want Ovaltine? I'll buy Ovaltine. Now, of course, Mr. Mattingly was used to us getting nothing but the basic stuff. And when she said Ovaltine, he said, Ovaltine, you sure? She says, I want a can of Ovaltine. And that night, we took the Ovaltine can home. And I looked at that baby. It's a big, tall can, see? And we popped the top open. There is a silver inner seal, just like Pierre-André said. And I took that silver inner seal, and I squatted at the dining room table. We had this wax fruit. Once my Uncle Carl ate 2 bananas. Came over, drunkard and a cootie, ate 2 bananas. My mother came in and says, what are you eating? He says, I'm eating the bananas. He says, how were they? This is a little tough, but they're okay. So I wrote my letter. I said, dear Orphan Annie, I wish to become a member of the little Orphan Annie secret circle. I drink Ovaltine all the time. Signed, Jean Parker Shepherd. I sent it off. I sealed up the envelope. And I laid it where all our bills were. The inn place where the other things came in said stuff like occupant. My old man used to hate that. He'd open these occupant letters and they would say, you need $300 on your signature only. He'd say, how the hell do they know? Occupant. Well, that night I sat down to dinner. My mother took my big glass of milk, and Pierre-André was always talking about this fantastic, rich, chocolatey drink, and I had this idea in my mind that it was going to taste like a malted milk. She takes a great big tablespoon of this stuff and drops it into my glass of milk, and it sank right to the bottom like little brown beavies. So I took my spoon and I stirred it up, and the brown beavies just moved around on the bottom. I stirred it up again, and a few of them came up to the top and then went down again. They just, brown beavies. My kid brother said, I want some. I said, no, this is my Ovaltine. So I took my first sip of rich, delicious chocolate Ovaltine that tastes like a fine Swiss milk chocolate. I sipped it. It tasted like fermented milk of magnesia. I tried to drink some more. My mother once realized that it's not happening. She said, now look, for 2 months you bugged me about getting this Ovaltine, and you are going to drink every last spoonful of Ovaltine. And for 3 months, I drank milk of magnesia every night. You know, I finally got to like it. I now put vodka in milk of magnesia. You get to like anything. Well, it didn't make any difference to me. I was going to be a member. And 2 weeks later, I came home from school, and there on the dining room table was my membership card. this big envelope. It came from Minneapolis, Minnesota, Checkerboard Square. I opened that thing up, and by God, I shook it out, and it was gold. And I still to this day remember what it said. It said to be made a member and to be given all the rights thereunto of a member in full and honorable and complete fealty. Gene Parker Shepherd is a member of the Little Orphan Annie Secret Circle, signed ARF. Countersigned Pierre Andre. I still carry that with me in my wallet. Never know when I might meet another member. And with it was my secret decoder pin with gold simulated plastic knob. And my God, was I excited. I was a member. You have no idea. Look at us all sitting here. One of the great things we like about being hams is that we're members of something. We got a license to prove it. We wear badges and patches to show, I'm in, look. WAL27XALD. Some of these new calls sound like Japanese transistors. Well, that night, I came home from school and I sat in front of that radio for a half an hour before Little Orphan Annie came on. And when they sang that song, who's that little chatterbox? The one with curly auburn locks. Who do I see? It's Little Orphan Annie. La-da-dee-dee-dee-dee. They were singing to me. I was in. In Indiana, and out in the darkness, you could hear pool balls hitting together, fist fights breaking out down at the Bluebird, but by God, I was in. And then Pierre said, get your pins out. There will be a meeting of the Little Orphan Annie's secret circle immediately following tonight's adventure. Your pins will be set at C-19. Do not let non-members know this secret message. I sat through that adventure. I didn't give a damn. I had my pad, my pencil. I had this pad, you know, with the blue lines with the Indian on the front. I had my number 2 Ticonderoga pencil already with the eraser. And on he came. Set your pins at C-19. Here's the message. 7. 22. 8. My kid brother is so bugged. He's not a member. He's lying under the day bed crying. He cried all through his 15th year. He stayed under the day bed. He's still there tonight, I think, whimpering quietly. His art form, by the way, was the whine. He could make his nose run at will. It would drip down on his tennis shoes. So I'm writing this message down. And then Pierre Andre finally finished off. He says, that's the message for tonight, members of the secret circle. We'll see you tomorrow night when they sing our theme song. Who's that little chatterbox? They go off the air. And for the first time in my life, my God, I'm in. And I went into the only room in the house where a boy of 9 can decode in peace. And I locked the door. And I squatted there. I had my pen. I had my pad with the numbers. I set my pin. C-19. Okay. 6. It's the letter B. B. 22. B. That's a word. B. B. Get the message. 16S. 9. U. 12. R. 22. 2 E. Be sure. 6 14 T O. 13 D R. 7 I N. 8 K. O V A. Son of a bitch. Goddamn commercial. I could feel the scales falling from my eyes. And from that time on, I've known what those sand traps of life are about. I haven't had a QSO since early March. Been on the air every night. Be sure to drink Ovaltine. We'll see you next year, gang. Let's hear it.